Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a liar and a mean person. She's a nut job.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We appreciate it. It is a big news day as we await Zelensky's arrival at the White House, along with other European leaders. And they are showing up for a big meeting with Donald J. Trump, the president. This is the first meeting at the White House that Zelensky will partake in since... well, that one, the one we all remember, the explosive Real
Housewives,
Real Housewives like flipping of the table fight between Zelensky, Trump and J.D. Vance, which people always talk about like a disaster meeting. I disagree with that description of it. I didn't think it was a disaster.
Yeah,
actually,
that's where all the J.D. Vance memes came out of. The you never said thank you and all the J.D. Vance face memes. We can thank that day.
They had a lot of pictures today on the news of that meeting, and it was like Trump and Zelensky leaning in towards the center of the camera and kind of pointing at each other. And if you just took the still shots, you would think it was a fun day. You would think they were having a good time. But yeah, I actually thought that that was a great example of some of the transparency that Trump brings to the job. And I think since then... sometimes this happens in life. Sometimes you have to have a blow up. You know, you have to have a big fight, a cathartic kind of experience to get back on the right track. But on the heels of Trump's high stakes meeting with Putin in Anchorage on Friday, and while Trump and Putin both told reporters that they made headway toward a resolution in that meeting, it is worth noting that last night, Russia launched a deadly airstrike in Kharkiv overnight that killed three people. So once again, it goes back to what Trump has been saying a lot when he was speaking to reporters. He's been telling people that Putin says one thing and then he does something else hours later. And he's extremely fickle, not trustworthy. And we're going to talk about what all of this means with Matt Boyle from Breitbart at 105, which will be great. It's also worth noting that Trump was on social media, Truth Social, this weekend. And he argued that if Ukraine was willing to make two concessions, that they could end the war. Those two concessions being accepting the fact that Crimea is not coming back under Ukrainian control, pointed out Obama's hand and all of that. And that Ukraine is not getting into NATO. And he said if they could just accept that, then they could end this war. I don't know. First of all, from what I've heard from Zelensky, he's talking about the Ukrainian constitution, his interpretation of it. He doesn't seem like he's going to move on that first one at all. But the other part of it is I don't know if it would be an end to the war, because Putin at this point, like I was just pointing out and what Trump has said, he really doesn't seem to want this to end. He seems to be very much... talking out of both sides of his mouth. Like the guy we saw on Friday versus what we saw over the weekend, totally different. I wanted to add in, though, because the European leaders are coming with Zelensky. And sometimes it's hard for me to keep up with the media spin on things and how they're trying to portray it. So I see this cut of Secretary of State Marco Rubio with Margaret Brennan, who's quickly becoming one of my least favorite of all these talking heads. And she's very... they're all really, really fault-finding now. They're very critical. They're very like, well, you said you're going to do this, and you did this, and you haven't done this yet.
I don't really care, Margaret.
In a way that they never were with Joe Biden when he was making comments about minor incursions, when this entire war was starting. I know you could argue the war started a long time ago, but the more enhanced full-scale invasion we saw happened while Joe Biden was president, none of these people seem to be as critical or as curious about the Biden administration's handling of this war. But now they're putting their journalist caps back on and they're trying to get to the bottom of it. And so she's trying to argue, because Zelensky's coming in with all these European leaders, that the reason they're coming in, like the woman who runs the European Union, Mark Rutte, the guy who's the head of NATO, who called Trump daddy, he's always going to be that to me now. He's just going to be the guy who called Trump daddy for the rest of his life. That's just the cross he has to bear. That's what happens.
Daddy, you're my daddy.
When you make a comment like that. And Zelensky's bringing in all these people with him. And I guess the argument here is that he's bringing in these people to act as like his backup so he doesn't get bullied. So Trump doesn't try to force him into a deal he doesn't want to do. And Rubio is great. He can handle these people. He's great on these shows. He's very smart. And he immediately just decimated this theory. So let's have cut 7, please. Okay, well, whatever one I'm looking for, you can play.
You know, there is concern from the Europeans that President Zelensky is going to be bullied into signing something away. That's why you have these European leaders coming as backup tomorrow. Can you
reassure them? No, it isn't. That's not why they're coming as backup. That's not true. No, but that's not why that's not true. They're not coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're
well,
not
that
coming.
February
in fact,
Oval Office
they're coming
meeting
here
in front of television cameras where President Zelensky.
Do you know how many meetings we've had
down
since then?
Wait,
oh,
can
no,
you pause it, Taylor?
I know, and I was.
So she's just assuming this. She's stating it. Again, we go back to the, when you throw out a false premise, this is what I love about certain Republicans, and only a few people can do it. You should be listening intently to how these people phrase things, because oftentimes it's all centered on a false premise that makes no sense. And if you can push back on that part, the entire thing comes undone. Is that they're coming here to act as backup. Says who? Says Margaret Brennan? Oh, are you the expert now on what's going on? Are we supposed to just take your word for it at CBS that that's what's happening here? And not for nothing, but I was thinking about it over the weekend. I'm like, that doesn't really look good for Zelensky either. I know they think they're doing this guy a bunch of favors by constantly having his back, but trying to claim that he needs to bring in a posse so that he doesn't get pushed around or he doesn't get like a swirly in the toilet by Donald Trump, you think that makes him look tough? If I was Zelensky, I'd be kind of offended. I'd be like, I'm bringing these people in because they were invited, not because I'm afraid of Trump. I think that's actually exactly the opposite of what Zelensky wants to present.
I do bicep curls all weekend for this.
Yeah, I don't like Zelensky. I'm not a big fan. But he doesn't seem to be afraid of a fight. I'll give him that. Like, I can concede that, Taylor. I can concede the fact that this guy can stand on his own 2 feet. He doesn't give me the sense of someone who's calling people up going, can you come with me? Can you come with me? I'm really afraid of him. I think, if anything, he gets a little too big for his britches, and he thinks that he's on the same standing as Donald Trump. Let's play the rest. Margaret Brennan, really, she's a know-it-all who knows absolutely nothing.
Just up in Alaska, watching the one with Vladimir Putin, where a red carpet rolled out.
No, but with Zelensky, we've had more meetings. We've had one meeting with Putin and like a dozen meetings with Zelensky. So, but that's not true. They're not coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're coming here tomorrow because we've been working with the Europeans. We talked to them last week. There were meetings in the UK over the previous weekend.
And they said President Trump was going to demand a ceasefire
as early as Thursday. No, but you said that they're coming here tomorrow to keep Zelensky from being bullied. They're not coming here tomorrow. Oh, this is such a stupid media narrative that they're coming here tomorrow because Trump is going to bully Zelensky into a bad deal. We've been working with these people for weeks on this stuff. They're coming here tomorrow because they chose to come here tomorrow. We invited them to come. We invited them to come. The president invited them to come.
But the president told those European leaders last week that he wanted a ceasefire.
Pause there. Now you're just deflecting. Like, you just said something that's not true. Do you want to correct it first so that you can move on from it? There's no self-reflection. They can't give an inch, and it drives me crazy. And you notice how she says the thing about the red carpet. They rolled out the red carpet for Putin. I saw a lot of that over the weekend, people freaking out. Trump shook his hand. Trump shook his hand. What do you want Trump to do? What do you want him to give him, a fist pump? Or bump, like Joe Biden did with the Saudi crown prince, who he called a pariah, and then proceeded to, he didn't know like how to work that. So he said, I'll just give him a fist bump, and then people will know that I see him and I'm here, but I'm not friendly with him. That was when you knew there was a new sheriff in town, when he brought out the fist bump. How about Obama? Should we do an Obama bow? And even if you wanted to claim that, like, oh no, Trump should have done a chest bump with Vladimir. That would have really shown him who's boss. All these people, the Obama bros, the Ben Rhodeses of the world, the pod bros that are coming out, like rewriting history about how they handled Putin when they were one of Obama or Biden's minions. if it weren't for Al Gore's internet, you might have a case. But unfortunately for all you idiots, there's pictures of all of this. There's pictures of Obama shaking Putin's hand. There's pictures of Biden shaking Putin's hand. There's pictures of Hillary Clinton shaking Putin's hand. So the entire premise that, oh, Trump shouldn't have, Trump was being too nice to him, it's ridiculous. We have the receipts. And Matt Taibbi put it really well. He's like, what do you want him to do? What is he supposed to, he's meeting with him. What's the point of that? What's the point of having this entire meeting just so you can not shake his hand and then what, have a blow up fight?
And I say, show me the receipts.
Show me the receipts. Yeah. And you know what I wanted to say too, because I was thinking about it and it reminded me of Biden. I'm going to play this flashback. This was Biden talking about Putin. And listen to the audience. Listen to everything about it. This is cut 19.
Conversation started off. I said, I know you and you know me. If I establish this occurred, then be prepared.
You said you know he doesn't have a soul.
I did say that to him, yes. And his response was, we understand one another.
Yeah. There's another clip of that where he's telling it to an audience and he's like laying it out. And then I looked at him and I said, I didn't have a soul. And they all go, ooh, ah. Like everyone's so amazed by him that he does these things. And it just got me thinking, sometimes in this country, and I love, you guys know I love the USA, but we have this, we're very partial to like symbolism or, you know, cinema almost, dramatics. And things that make us feel good. Like, oh, it'd be so cool if Biden looked him in the eyes and he gave him a Clint Eastwood and he showed him, this is America. We'll put a boot in your ass. This is what we do here. And we forget that that's not really how things work. It might work in a movie, but it doesn't always work in real life. And you know how I know it doesn't always work in real life? You want to know how I know that? You want to know how I'm clued into that? Is because Joe Biden, for all his talk of, I looked him in the eyes and I said, you're not getting this best, you know what happens for me. You know what happened when Joe Biden was president? He made a remark about minor incursion, and now we're in a 3.5 year bloodbath. That's how I know that didn't work. You know how else I know it didn't work? All the people putting up pictures of Obama staring down Putin and they're like, this is a real man. This is how a real man looks at Putin. Crimea. How about the meeting with Medvedev? Does anyone remember that meeting? I'll have more flexibility after the election. Like, it's all for these people online to feel good, to feel like my guy's tough. My guy doesn't talk to Putin. And behind the scenes, meanwhile, they're making all these concessions. They're not doing any sanctions on Russia. They're going easy on them. And then Trump is kind of the flip side of that. Trump's like, my style negotiating is not going to be what these people want, but maybe I'll be able to actually get something done. And none of this happened during Trump's first term, for anyone who doesn't remember. It's beyond ridiculous. And remember they told us about Biden? He's finally commanding respect on the world stage. I go around, they say, America's back. And then they say, for how long? And all this stuff happened when he was president. And now they want to get mad at Trump for rolling out the red carpet and shaking Putin's hand. Like, that's the big story here. Yeah. You guys missed a lot of the other stuff when Joe Biden was president. But now it's good that you guys got your finger on the pulse again. And we're going to break this down. We're going to talk more about it. Plus, when we come back, I want to talk Comey. Comey's a Swiftie, and I got a text this morning from someone I know who's very into politics, follows everything. And the text was just, something is wrong with James Comey, !! And I think that sums it up. Something's happening with this man. James Comey and MSNBC are both having midlife crises. And we're watching them play out on the world stage. And it's not pretty. It's not fun. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. We'll talk about it when we come back. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere.
I see you. I acknowledge you. I connect with you.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next.
This hour of The Grace Curley Show is brought to you in part by Moby Dicks in Wellfleet. For 40 years and counting, they continue to provide the freshest oysters, fried fish, and lobster salad online at Moby's.com.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. It's coming winter. You can't escape. This winter, move more snow with a Fisher Plow from Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson, Mass. As a Fisher Plow distributor, you can count on Tux to have the full line of Fisher products, including parts. Learn more at TuxTrucksGMC.com. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is would you ever get a tattoo? Yes, no, I have one and regret it, or I have one and plan on getting more.
No, I wouldn't. I was reading, the reason I thought of this is because I was reading a story today in Red State, and it was about tattoos, and then there was this weird, or not even weird, it was a statistic at the bottom that said tattoo removal, I think since 1999, has increased 400%. And I recently saw a clip of Miley Cyrus, and she was talking about how she has tattoos and how there's a lot of them that she regrets getting and she wishes she hadn't. And that kind of, for a long time, I thought was something people with tattoos never did. Like, it was rare, especially celebrities, that you admit, I shouldn't have got this. This was kind of a mistake. Unless you're going through the removal process like Mark Wahlberg or Pete Davidson and it's just out there, to have one on your body and say that I could have gone without that surprised me. And I thought maybe things are changing. Maybe less people are, maybe the tattoo tide is turning. And then I read that statistic, tattoo removal, 400% increase since 1999.
Did you read the other story in the New York Post about a tattoo? This white, this lady's husband passed away, so she had his tattoo cut off of him.
Ooh.
And
ooh,
she preserved it.
Ooh.
To remember him.
I don't think I like that. But my answer would be no. And there's several reasons why, but the main one being I am so indecisive with everything. I just got a new dresser in my room, and if I told you how long it took me to pick out this dresser, you'd be embarrassed for me. I'm embarrassed. It's bad. I paint.
Oh my God, you were talking about this for years.
Yeah, I paint a room and I'm like, oh, that was bad. That wasn't, I shouldn't have done this. So no, to put something on my body so permanent, and there's no one forcing. You know how sometimes, Taylor, it's like, okay, you got to name your baby. You have to make that decision.
Right.
You know, it's very stressful. There's a lot that goes into it, but you don't have an option. You have an option here.
Would
the option is just not to get a tattoo.
Maybe your kid's birthday is on your arm or something.
Nope.
Nothing like that?
Nothing.
Just
no.
Like maybe their handprint? Their handprint?
You said you weren't even going to let people with tattoos go to your funeral.
Correct. No visible tattoos. If you have a tattoo, cover it up. I don't want to see it, even if I'm dead. Your tattoos look disgusting. None of them look good. They're bad. All bad decisions.
I'm going to say no.
86% say no. 9% say yes, they would get a tattoo. 4% say they have one and regret it. 1% say they have one and plan on getting more. Oh, I didn't know my sister voted today.
Does your sister have tattoos?
Yes. So many.
Does she unveil each one and like tell you, hey, this is the newest? They're expensive too. That's the other thing.
She claims she gets a deal on them, but I don't know how true that is. But every holiday, I notice another one, and she like positions her arm in such a way where you have to ask about it. Oh, what do you got there?
You know what I always found interesting too, and you know some people have like military guys have tattoos. If to each their own. If you can get it and you like it and you want to live with it, go for it. It's not me. It's not my body, your tattoos, your choice. But I will say this. One thing that irks me is if you ask somebody about a tattoo and they're like, well, and they get all defensive. You have it on your
right.
arm.
Exactly.
Well, it's for my friend. And they go into this thing like, how dare you ask me about this? This is a sensitive subject. I'm sorry. It's on your bicep.
I'm not the one who wore sleeveless shirt today, and it's December 3rd.
I would assume you'd be offended if I didn't ask, considering how much you paid for it and how clearly you're very proud of it. So I'm asking. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to speak your language here. Get in on the tattoo, but no. But I could never. When we come back, we're talking James Comey. He's a Swiftie. He's also a clout chaser, and I think he's going through something. I think we got to do a... If I see a goatee on this man, I'm calling the mental institutions.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
At my second Taylor Swift concert, in Hartford, Connecticut, 14 years ago this summer, she sang a song about this topic, asking, Why you gotta be so mean?
Please, God, don't let him quote lyrics.
And she spoke directly to the nasty people.
Oh, Christ.
I bet you got pushed around. Somebody made you cold. But the cycle ends right now. Because you can't leave me down that road. You'll be glad I didn't sing that.
Help! Make it stop! This is so weird. This is so weird. And you know what? I started to notice. I put this out today on social media because I started to notice this trend a while ago. It was during the Eras Tour. And I should preface all this. I don't know if this gives me less weight, Taylor, to comment or more weight to comment on this. I'll let you decide. I like Taylor Swift. I listen to Taylor Swift's music. I know all of her, pretty much all of her lyrics. I'm going to listen to her whole album. I don't call myself a Swiftie because I just don't like the label of, I don't want to be associated because those people are kind of crazy. I think you can like someone's music without being one of their minions. But with all that being said, I started to notice during the Eras Tour, I was like, why are there all of these people who go to a concert and then when they go on late night TV, their entire interview is about how they either saw Taylor Swift or their daughters watched Taylor Swift and they're a Swiftie. And it was always older white men. It was like Ben Stiller, Paul Rudd, Kevin Costner. And it was supposed to make them really relatable and make the internet go, ooh, oh my God, it's so amazing. Ben Stiller, he's a Swiftie. And I just immediately felt the clout chasing going on. I immediately knew what they were trying to do.
They're all trying to recruit her to their satanic death cult. So
they're all trying to go viral and be relevant. And it just really made me sad. I'm like, why do you have to do this? And furthermore, if I was Taylor Swift, and she's talked about this before, she recently did an interview. She said, my name can be in a headline. Doesn't mean it's any of my business. People are dropping her name just to be news. And so you have Stephen Colbert being like, tell us about your favorite Taylor Swift song to these men who are 65 years old. It's weird. I'm sorry. It's strange. You can listen to Taylor Swift. Your daughters can say, put on this song. And you can go, oh, yeah, this song's not bad. You don't need to go on late night TV and do a 10-minute bit on that to prove
it's weird.
It's weird. It's weird. And Comey, the former FBI director, talking about this, takes it to a completely different level.
I mean, this confirms she's a psyop. She's kind of an operative of the government, right?
Not for me, but
oh, come on.
There's a lot of psyops out there that I'm not on board. I don't even really understand it. All I know is that
they don't want you to understand it, Grace.
Comey wants to be liked so badly. And there's something about older people who are still in the middle school phase of their maturity where it's like, I want to be liked. I want everyone to like me. I'll say this and then people will like me, or I'll do this and then people will like me. You're an old man. You're supposed to be past that. You're supposed to be past that like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And you're so desperate to, again, look for absolution from the Hillary Clinton stands that you feel you betrayed by even talking about her email scandal. And all you've been doing since then, while you're hiding in the curtains, while you're writing these books, while you're finding seashells and creating 8647 artwork on the beach in your sweater and your jeans, all you're doing is seeking forgiveness for what you think is your sin. And you want this. We always talk about that strange new respect and how like Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and all these people, they thirst for it. They're such losers. They want it so bad. They want to be invited to the cocktail parties. Ooh, I'm going to get a Cosmo and talk to Kara Swisher. Oh, I'm going to stand next to Molly Jungfast and Nicole Wallace and talk about how awful Trump is. And then I'll feel loved. There's Sally Fields. You like me. You really like me. No, nobody does. And where Comey made the mistake is that he's hated by everyone. Like he's never going to be in the in crowd and he kind of knows it. So now he's just throwing stuff against the wall. So he's talking about Taylor Swift and it just gets weirder and weirder. Can you just play these cuts, Taylor, for me? I'll just react to each one.
I want to talk about a truly inspirational public figure named Taylor Swift. Of course I watched her podcast interview with the Kelce brothers. Of course I watched the whole thing, although on YouTube Patrice and I got kicked off for the last 15 minutes and finished it on her phone, but I watched it.
This man there's something wrong with him. And I have a question because I've been looking, Taylor. I've been trying to find it. What was this for?
His Substack.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was a hostage video.
Yeah, it was weird. There's no backdrop at all. Just a plain white wall in a nondescript building. He's sitting there in a suit and tie.
Like, no one's making you. This no. is the same thing as the tattoos. No one is asking. No one is saying, like, gun to your head, tell us about your experience with Taylor Swift. And yet here we are having to listen to it.
And it seems like he wrote all this out.
Yeah.
Because there's not one or a pause to collect my thoughts or anything like that. It seems like he's reading.
All right, keep going.
You see, Taylor Swift and I go way back. I went to my first concert of hers 15 years ago. I've been to a second, and I have helped financially support the attendance of a lot of family members at others.
Pause it.
I'm in a family's Swifty group chat.
That is the weirdest way to say you bought your kids tickets to Taylor Swift. I've helped financially support. This man is beyond help, I think.
I've provided sustenance to my offspring.
Is he a robot?
I know all her music, and I listen to it in my headphones when I cut the grass.
Why are you trying to prove to us? What is this? Are you trying to get into some sort of, like, Taylor Swift cult?
Dwight does not play a robot.
Where you're going to, like, cut your hand and swap blood with someone? What is this? Why is he speaking in that cadence?
So, yes, I have a favorite of hers, although, honestly, for me, it's a tie between All Too Well, 10-minute version. An Exile featuring Bon Iver.
Okay. Can you leave us alone now, please? I'm scared. I'm going to have a bad dream about this. This is very, very weird.
Taylor Swift has grown up with my family and provided us a soundtrack, really, as we've grown ourselves and learned and adapted and dealt with adversity and celebration. She had songs for all of it. I suspect that's something that millions of Americans have also experienced in their families.
He's delivering this as though there was just some sort of, like, domestic terror attack, and he's still FBI director, and he's giving the nation his first reaction to it. Like, that is the solemnness and the way, the tone that you're getting from this. But he's talking about a pop star who his daughters like to listen to. And I know, James, you like to listen to her too. I get it. You're a fan. Holy guacamole.
I think we need to make him a Tinder profile. Likes long walks on the beach, listening to Taylor Swift while
painting
he cuts the grass.
Painting seashells.
Yep, painting seashells.
This man was in charge.
I don't know who he's trying to attract.
And I have a question. Mm-hmm. You know, usually I don't comment on appearance. But wasn't he the one who, in his book, didn't he say something about Trump having, like, the little goggle white marks near his eyes?
I think so.
I think he made a comment about how Trump was tan and around his eyes were really white. And I just have to say, he's got that same thing going. I was looking at that video and I was like, he's got those tan goggle lines
the
around.
The raccoon eyes.
Yeah, yeah. For someone who was so critical of Trump's appearance, I noticed it today. I don't know. There's nothing else I can say about this.
He does not look like a well man.
No, something's happening. We talk about, like, goatees and stuff.
I mean, shouldn't somebody his age be listening to, I don't know, Pink Floyd or the Rolling Stones? Maybe something a little newer than that. Maybe he was more 80s. But Taylor Swift.
Billy Joel.
I don't know, there comes a time in our lives, Grace, and I think you and I, we may have reached, I've definitely reached it, but maybe you haven't caught on to it yet, where you just stop listening to new music and
you stay
where...
You stopped when you were three.
I stopped when I was negative 40.
Taylor was born and he's like, only the old deep tracks, please. I only want Dean Martin.
And you just stop listening to new music. You listen to what you like and what you know.
Yeah.
Why is he listening to Taylor Swift? That's weird.
He wants you to love him.
Is that a quote from one of her songs?
No.
What was her big, like, her first big hit? Was it that you da 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 da?
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
Because that's the only one I'm familiar
with. Love Story.
Yeah.
It's a love story, baby, just say yes. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd have to ask James Comey. He probably knows. He would tell us in this very strange, very strange way, staring at us. Ooh, I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like him.
It reminds me of first day in college. You're asked to give a speech in front of the class, whatever topic you want. You got to give a 5-minute speech without saying the word And that's exactly what he delivers, his favorite subject. And he just speaks extemporaneously about Taylor Swift and his love for her.
He makes me uneasy. If I were at a cocktail party or something and he was speaking to me, I would finish up the conversation. I would do my move where I say, hey, I'm going to get a drink. Do you need one? I would get out of there. And then I would probably say to my husband, that guy's a freak. That guy, something's up. There's something they're not telling us. There's something wrong with him. He just talked to me for 10 minutes about Taylor Swift. And he did it without blinking. It was very, very strange. Taylor, since we're on this topic of, and we're going to get back to Trump and Zelensky, everyone's showing up now. Oh, and I want to point something else out about that Margaret Brennan cut, because let's just play the beginning of it again for anyone who missed this. This is cut 8. Can I just hear?
You know, there is concern from the Europeans that President Zelensky is going to be bullied into signing something away. That's why you have these European leaders coming as backup tomorrow.
Okay, so pause it there. So she says that as a fact. That's why they're coming. You know what else is so stupid about that comment, which shouldn't be a surprise because it's Margaret Brennan? What's so stupid about it is like, okay, so Trump's this big bully, right? Why you gotta be so mean, as Taylor Swift might say. He's this big, mean bully. And Zelensky's so afraid of him. Zelensky didn't seem afraid of him in the Oval Office. I'm not one to give out compliments to Zelensky. He seemed pretty okay in the Oval Office. I was actually a little bit stunned at how this guy was throwing his weight around in the Oval Office. But let's just pretend Margaret Brennan's right and Trump's this big bully and all these European leaders are so worried. Mark Ruddy, however you say it, is worried that daddy's going to bully Zelensky. You think that this is how it works, so they're so afraid of Zelensky getting bullied that they can just waltz into the White House? If Trump was really a bully, Taylor, and if Trump's big plan here, according to Margaret Brennan, was that he's like, all right, we're going to get Zelensky in here, and then we're going to bully the crap out of him. We're going to give him a wedgie. We're going to give him a nuggie. And we're going to tell him to do this, and then whatever. And then someone says, hey, by the way, all the European leaders want to show up. They don't have these. Typically, I was watching Fox this morning. They say typically to have this many leaders in one spot, you have to plan it for months. For security reasons, coordination, airplanes, everything. You have to plan it for months. The White House invited these people and helped facilitate this. So there was clearly a sign up here. But you're trying to tell me that the big bully has this plan that he's going to shove Zelensky's head in a toilet and just flush, according to Brennan.
We're going to do a swirly, a counterclockwise swirly, follow that up with an atomic wedgie. We love the atomic wedgies. We don't like the earlier wedgies. They weren't so powerful. We have wedgies like people have never seen before.
And then he's got this whole plan, Trump. He's got this whole plan. And then someone comes into his office. Maybe it's Caroline. Maybe it's J.D. Vance, and they say, maybe it's Marco Rubio, and they say all the European leaders want to come on Monday to that meeting where you plan on shoving Zelensky's face in the toilet.
There goes our plan to stuff him in a locker afterwards.
And he's such a bully. He's such an authoritarian. He's such a dictator that he looks at whoever that is in his office and goes, well, I guess I have no choice, right? I got to let them waltz in. I got to let them change my plans. That's not what a bully would do. A bully would say, tell those European snowflakes to hit the road. They're not welcome here. Get off my lawn. That's what a bully would do. He wouldn't say, oh, well, I guess as the leader of the free world, I have to let them come in lest they blow my house down. They huff and they puff and they blow my house down. Just sometimes just use your brain. Just occasionally. I don't use mine 100% of the time. Trust me. But on occasion, I give it a whirl. Ed, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, Grace, I heard you on Stacey's show last week. That was great.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You know how some people are creeped out by clowns?
Yes.
I'm not creeped out by clowns. I don't like them. I have always, ever since I was little, been creeped out by people who don't act age appropriate. It just really freaks me out. And if I was smart enough, I'd use AI to add a little clip at the end of the Comey thing where he stares into the camera and says, now do you want to see my doll collection?
Yeah. Ed, you know what? You are onto something. It's like TLC when they show those women who have the dolls that they treat like children, you know, or something like that, where it's just there's something about it that...
My Strange Addiction, Hoarders, he could be on any of those shows.
Yeah, you can't look away. His Strange Addiction is Taylor Swift, and he's financially backed a lot of people who've gone to see her. If I were Taylor Swift and I saw that video, I would be really freaked out. I'd be like, this guy was in charge of the FBI.
I think he was just angling for free tickets so he doesn't have to financially support
Not only would I not give him free tickets, I would say to the security at my concerts, do not let this man within 500 feet of these concerts. He is permanently banned. She also doesn't like clout chasers. That's something she says. She doesn't like when people name drop her for the sake of it. So that's not good either. Hey, Taylor, you know what I want to talk about when we come back? Well, first of all, there's a really crazy story out of California with an illegal alien who was driving a truck, a commercial truck, and ended up killing three people. And he was in the country illegally. He had his commercial driver's license. It's a crazy story. We're going to get to it. I also want to talk about, since we're on this kind of tattoo, grumpy old man Taylor cycle right now. This seems perfect. Did you see what happened in Boston with the bikers?
No.
All these kids, youths.
Oh, no, I did.
Punks.
In the tunnel. Yeah, they took over, right?
And they're on their bikes and their dirt bikes and their electric scooters. So we're going to get your take on this when we come back. I don't think you're going to be happy with it. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more. Stay with us.
I bet you got pushed around. Somebody made you cold. But the cycle ends right now because you can't lead me down that road. You'll be glad I didn't sing that.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. I think we know who James Comey sounds like. We figured it out.
People will say we're in love. Anthrax Island. That was an especially nice touch, Clarice.
Yeah, I'm freaked out. I'm freaked out for Taylor. Someone said Taylor sounds like he's worried for Taylor Swift. Yeah, you do. When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt Boyle from Breitbart. He's going to give us the inside scoop on this meeting that is happening right now between Trump, Zelensky, and all these European leaders. Apparently, they just overruled Donald Trump. He didn't want them there. He wanted to bully Zelensky mano y mano. And the European leader said, no, we're coming too. We're going to show up and we're going to ruin your plans. But I wanted to read the story out of Boston because it intrigued me. It says, Dem Run Boston, this is from the Daily Mail, descends into Mad Max hellscape as 100 youths on dirt bikes and scooters take over the freeway. Electric scooters. That's a key factor here. The electric scooters, I guess, are becoming a real nuisance in a lot of these cities. And I saw the videos of it. And I do have to say something, and maybe Taylor's old man ways are rubbing off on me, but that sounded weird. That sounded weird. When I'm driving home sometimes and there'll be someone on a bike, and I'm not talking about the people who wear the full bike suits and the helmets and the water bottles.
Don't get me started on those.
I'm talking about youths. I'm talking about young punks, as Janine Pirro might say. And they're on their bikes and they do that thing, Taylor. I think it's called popping a wheelie, where they lean back onto the back wheel and they kind of just like balance there. That should be outlawed because it is so, as the driver in the scenario, it's frightening. The whole time you're like, okay, so you're going to do that now. You're going to balance on that back wheel. You're going to fall into the lane. I'm going to hit you and I'm going to be the one who gets in trouble because you're trying to do all these fancy tricks. Both wheels on the ground, okay? That's why you have two wheels. No one's impressed by this, these little moves you have, let alone when it's in I-93 in the tunnel. We'll be back. We got Matt Boyle from Breitbart coming live at you at 105.
Did you say Utes?